gospel meeting this evening. We've sung a couple of hymns about the love of God, and that's what I would like to bring before you again tonight. We're going to look in the book of 1 John and chapter 4. So there's the gospel of John, but the epistle of John near the end of our Bibles, just before the book of Revelation and chapter 4. So I'd just like to look at three words in verse number 8. But of course, we'll refer to other verses just to back up a couple of the things that we'll speak of. So the last three words of verse number 8, 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. That's the Lord Jesus. For what purpose? That we, you and I, each one of us, might live eternally through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now again, propitiation is a big word, but it simply means that Christ made a sacrifice at Calvary, and that sacrifice that he made on behalf of others, it was satisfying to God. We're just going to read verse number 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father, that's God, sent the Son, that's the Lord Jesus, to be the Savior of the world. And we trust that God will bless the reading of his word to us. So we've read those last three words of verse number 8. God is love. And if you leave this evening with nothing else, if I have either bored you or if I have unfortunately maybe complicated things for you, if I have, it's a shame. But I'd like you to leave with three things, three words if nothing else. God is love. Who is God? Lots of people say, well, I pray to God. I have my own God. I worship here. I worship there. Who is God? It says God is love. That's who we're talking about. Well, we have to understand who is God. Well, first of all, God is the creator. God is the reason that you and I are here in this world. God is the reason that you and I have breath in our lungs. The fact that we're even alive tonight and that we're functioning proves that there is a creator, and that creator is God himself. God is love. Very, very simple. We understand from this verse that the God of heaven, the God that created you and I, he is love. You notice what the verse doesn't say. It doesn't say that God loves us. It could say that, and that would be true, because we'll see a little bit further down my message that God does love us. But it says that God is love. God is love. Maybe we could ask it a different way. What would love be like if God doesn't exist? Well, the short answer is that there'd be no such thing as love if God didn't exist, because God is love. God demonstrates love. That actually is who he is in his essence. God is love. Now, we hear a lot about love each day, don't we? Maybe for those that are younger, you may hear your dad say to your mom or your mom say to your dad, I love you. So where did this concept of love come from? Well, love originates in God himself, because God is love. For those that are older, and maybe you're in a relationship, you're married, and there's someone that you love, there's someone that you care for. Maybe there's a parent here this evening, and you have been privileged to bring another individual into this world. You've given birth to a baby girl, a baby boy. And that individual that you have brought into the world is special to you, and you love them. Really, when we love each other, we are just really displaying what God is like. Love does not originate with mankind. It doesn't originate with men and women and with boys and girls. We see it and we display it. We try to imitate it because it originates somewhere else. We try to reflect it. And love originates in God Himself. It stems from God. And the only reason that we know really what love is, or a concept of what love is because of who God is. Have you ever asked yourself the question, or maybe you've been in a conversation with somebody, and maybe you're talking about two people at work or something like that, and they're married, and that marriage falls apart. Or maybe one person becomes interested in somebody else, and you're upset, or that person's upset because something that seemed permanent, something that was a marriage, has now broken apart. And vows that were made and promises that were made, now things have become interrupted. And you say, well, that's not fair to this person or to that person. It's when something comes to disrupt a loving relationship, we somehow think that it's not good, or it's not right. Well, why do we think that? Why do we think it's terrible to find that there are children that are not loved, children that are mistreated, children that are abandoned, that are not cared for, not loved? Why do we think that it's a bad thing? Well, it's because it's in comparison to God. God is love. How does God treat that individual? And if the way that God treats an individual is true, it is right. And if we treat an individual the opposite of how God treats them, then obviously it's wrong. So a lot of the things that we deal with from day to day, there is a standard, and that standard is God, and God is love. God's love is very different from the love that we sometimes talk about. Now, there are those that speak about love in a very respectful way, in a very honoring way, but sometimes the talk of love is pretty cheap, isn't it? The entertainment industry, they talk about love. Is that really love? Right? And it's become a word that is very casual. It doesn't mean much. Relationships are entered into lightly, and they're broken off very, very quickly. And sometimes love between individuals in any kind of relationship can be inconsistent. It's not the same. Maybe we favor this person or that person, or we prefer this person. We love these people, but we're prejudiced against those people. We can be inconsistent in our love, but not with God, because God is love. God is very consistent. He's the same. He loves me. That's amazing. He loves you. He loves all of us. He is consistent in His love. If I was to ask you, is there a possibility that God loves you less today than the day you were born, what would you say to that? Okay, so you were born, day one, God loves you. You're a little innocent baby, very cute. Everybody loves a baby. But maybe today you're 5, or you're 10, 30, or 50. Does God love you the same today as He did when you were just a day old? And you may be thinking, well, there's a lot of water under the bridge since day one. There's a lot of things that I have done. I haven't done what was right, and I haven't pleased God. And you know what? Maybe there's just a possibility He doesn't love me the same today as when I was just a little baby. You know what? God loves you the same today as He did the day you were born. God's love is the same. God's love is consistent because God is love. My second point is this. Not much different than the first. God loves each one of us. I'm not sure about you, but maybe you've had the opportunity to speak to individuals, and you've had the opportunity to open up a little New Testament, whether it's on the side of the street or at a booth at a fair or a work colleague or whoever it may be. And you tell them, God loves you. And maybe they look at you with a strange kind of look and they don't really understand what you're talking about. I remember just a couple of months ago giving an individual to a woman. It was the Via magazine from last year. And for those of you that are familiar with it, it's a woman that's kneeling down on a sidewalk and with some colorful chalk, she's writing a message. It was kind of with the background of COVID in view. And she's writing this message in chalk on the pavement on a sidewalk, and she is saying, everything will be okay. Or will it? Remember during COVID, there was a number of people or a number of shops that had in their windows, everything will be okay, and they were trying to cheer us up and basically tell us, well, COVID's not going to last forever, life's actually pretty good, whatever that meant, but everything will be okay. But on the bottom of that title of the Via magazine, it said, or will it? You see, people thought that life was just going to carry on. Okay, it's a little bit bumpy, but it's going to get better. Is life going to get better? And I remember giving that Via magazine to a woman. And she says, well, she was quite offended at the message. And she says, God created COVID. God created COVID. And I said, well, ma'am, God allowed COVID. Absolutely, he did. There was a virus, and it's attacked many people, and it's made people sick, and there's been restrictions. God has allowed it. I'm confident that God has allowed it, because God is in control. He's in control of everything. And God knew that that was going to hit our world for those approximate 2 years. God knew the impact and the effect. And I said, God did allow it. And she said to me this, if God loved us, why did he allow COVID? So fortunately, she was relatively familiar with her Bible. And I said, do you remember the Garden of Eden? And she said, yes. Do you remember when the serpent came way back in the book of Genesis to our first parents, Adam and Eve? And Eve was tricked and Adam disobeyed. And they took of the fruit that God had said not to eat of. And when they partook of that fruit, they sinned. They disobeyed what God had said. That's what sin means, to disobey God. So I explained to her, as a result of sin coming into the world, there was death. As a result of sin coming into the world, there was hardship and heartache and disease and all of these sad things that have marked our world of 2022. I said, that is why there's things that affect us like COVID-19. She says, you can't tell me that God loves me. She says, there's only one person that has ever loved me. And she says, that's my grandmother, and she died just a number of years ago from cancer. She says, don't tell me that God loves me. What do you say? I'm not very old, but I do know this. And I've talked to enough people that I do know this, that life is difficult. Life is rough. And there's many that have seen the very, very difficult side of life, of heartache and of rejection, and the effect that sin has had. She says, the only person that ever loved me was my grandfather, so my grandmother, and she died a number of years ago of cancer. I said, I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm sorry that there was only one that you felt that you could trust. I'm sorry that there are so many that have betrayed you. I'm sorry that there are so many that you trusted and they've let you down. I'm sorry that your grandmother's gone. But before you leave, I just want to tell you of another one that will never leave you. Another one that loves you. And that is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, it's interesting. She said, I saw you on the street when I was walking down. I was walking to my hotel. She said, I was going to fly back up north this afternoon with my kids. We were down for a medical appointment. She said, I sent them on the plane, and she said, I went down into downtown Winnipeg to look for some drugs. And she says, I come across you. I said, that's for a reason, because God loves you. If you're here, this is a little aside. Often you hear preachers say, if you're here in the meeting tonight, I just about said that myself. Of course you're here in the meeting tonight if you're here. To each one of you here tonight in the meeting, God loves you. And God wants your attention. He wants your attention because he wants to bless you. He wants to give you something that you don't have, something that you need, something that you're going to enjoy, and something that you can't live without. And that is his beloved son. God loves each one of us. But God loves us in spite of our sin. I mentioned the Garden of Eden, didn't I? Sin entered into the world, and each one of us born after Adam and Eve are born as sinners. We're born with a sinful nature. And when we were born, we didn't need to be taught to steal and to lie and to say bad words. No, we just did it naturally. We had a sinful nature. But God loves us even though we have sinned. What did we read? 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 10. It reads this way, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You see, we didn't naturally love God. That wasn't our tendency. We weren't prone to that. But he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Listen to another verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in our sins, helpless, not able to get to heaven on our own, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man, this is Romans 5, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, for a good man would someone dare to die. But God commendeth, he shows, he demonstrates his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I speak to quite a few people, as many of you here do as well. And they say, well, I could never be good enough to be in heaven. You know what? You're exactly right. You can never be good enough. Neither could I. We can't clean ourselves up. We can't make ourselves more presentable to God. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It's while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God knows our condition. He knows what we're like. Another person once told me, he says, nobody loves me. Not even one. And I said to him, there is one who does. And I spoke to him about the Lord Jesus. And he says, no. It's not true. I said, well, sir, is there anyone that loves you enough that they were willing to die for you? He said, well, maybe some of my friends would be willing to. What does our verse say? When we were yet sinners, when we were enemies against God, when we were against God in our sins, rebellion against him, that is when the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. We were enemies against God, and God sent his son into the world to die for us. His love is unconditional. He loves us despite our sin. Notice he does not love our sin. He does not agree with our sin. He does not condone our sin. But even though we are sinners, he loves us. You may ask the question, does a loving God actually punish people in hell? I remember another conversation with a young lady at the Brandon Winter Fair. And one of her first questions is, do you believe in a place called hell? And I said, well, the Bible speaks of it. She said, I don't believe there's a hell. Okay. So we talked about a number of other things, and she went on to talk about her life. And she felt that she had been very disadvantaged, and a number of people and systems had done her wrong. And she says, someone needs to pay. I've been wronged and someone needs to pay. And she says, why is it that in this world, it always seems like people are taking advantage of other people? And she referenced World War II, and she says, look at someone like Hitler and how he took advantage. And she says, that man deserves hell. I said nothing. And then I said, why is it that Hitler deserves hell? Well, she says, there is such a thing as right and wrong, and he was wrong. Okay, we agree on that. She said, he has to be, like she said, it wouldn't be fair of God just to let someone like Hitler go unpunished. Okay. We're getting a little bit closer to the point. Yes, there is a hell. It was not made for individuals. For the devil and for his angels, it was made. But you see, this individual, even though she didn't want to recognize that there was a hell, she recognized that there must be a standard and God must hold a standard. And she realized that sin must be punished. But her difficulty was this, is that, well, she finally admitted that there would be a hell for really, really, really bad people, but not for her. The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've sinned. Someone like Hitler has sinned. It is true that people have sinned to different degrees. Some have sinned more, some have sinned less. Some have committed great crimes and some have not committed great crimes. But the Bible says that all have sinned. And God says that he will judge our sin. But God wants to have a relationship with us. God wants to have a relationship with us. He does not want to judge us for our sin. He does not want to punish us. He does not want to see us punished in hell and then eventually the lake of fire forever. He wants to bless us. You see, he has created us for a purpose, and that is to worship him and to serve him, to appreciate him and to appreciate all that he has done for us. God wants what is best for our lives. He knows that sin has ruined us, but he wants to bring us into a relationship with himself, a relationship that is close, where there is peace and there is satisfaction and there is contentment. I don't need to tell you that many search for peace and satisfaction and contentment in many areas. Many pleasures. Some even try to search for it in religion. But there's no peace and satisfaction there. Satisfaction can only be found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's love can't really be measured. I think the hymn writer was having some difficulty trying to fully understand it when he said, oh, the height and depth of his boundless love and his mercy, who can tell? When he came to the cross from the throne above to save our souls from hell. There's an individual that's trying to put into words the love of God. How do you explain it? You can't. You know what? You need to experience it. I can't explain what I've experienced. I'm not able to fully explain to you how great the love of God is, but what I encourage you to do is to experience it. Experience the love of God, and then you will know how great it is. The love of God can't really be measured. But God's love is shown in what it is willing to give. Humanly speaking, we have this term, love is measured by what it's willing to give. And if we were to measure or to try to explain the love of God, we explain it and we try to display it and show it, tell it, by telling others of what he was willing to give. Can you think of a verse that tells about God's love and giving? For God so loved the world. That's the world of individuals, of human beings, men and women and boys and girls. For God so loved men and women and boys and girls that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the Lord Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's love is shown in the distance that Christ was willing to come. Think of where he came from, heaven. That's where he came to. When he was born in Bethlehem, he had come from heaven, from heaven's heights and heaven's glory, heaven's adoration and heaven's praise. He stoops from heaven above and he steps into this world, and he is born in Bethlehem. The distance that he came to earth, a place of sin, a place of corruption, and a place of defilement, that is the place that he came. We read that verse, 1 John 4 and verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son. He sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He came from heaven. He came to earth to be the Savior. When I was young, I came to realize that God sent the Son, the Lord Jesus, to be my Savior. Has there ever been a time in your life when you first realized that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to be your Savior? That's what salvation is. It's believing what God says. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I'm in the world. I'm a boy in this world. That means that God the Father sent the Lord Jesus into this world to be my Savior. Well, if he sent him to be my Savior, I'll just believe it. I'll receive him. I'll take him. He's my Savior. That's what salvation is. It is that simple. The love of God is shown by the distance that Christ came. And then God's love is shown at that place called Calvary. That individual that I spoke to on the street, the individual that told me that there's only one that ever loved her, and that one is now dead, her grandmother, said, "There is one that loves you. There's one that went to Calvary. He loved you so much. He went to Calvary that he might redeem you. He went to Calvary and he suffered and bled and died. He was so wrongfully treated by men, but in 3 hours of darkness, he was judged by God for your sin. All of those sins that you have committed, those sins that you were looking for downtown in Winnipeg tonight before you go back up north tomorrow, the Lord Jesus Christ was punished for our sins. He took the wrath and judgment of God that you deserved." Remember, I said God is holy and sin is going to be judged, but God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants you in heaven, but he can't bring you into heaven with your sin. Your sin must be dealt with. God says, "I'll provide a way. I'll provide the Lord Jesus. He's going to go to Calvary's cross, and he's going to die for sinners. I'm going to punish him for your sin. And if your sin has been punished and Christ has paid for it, you can go free." You say, "How can I get that tonight?" Just by saying thank you. Really? I can be saved tonight just by saying thank you? Just receiving, just accepting that when Jesus died, he died there and was punished for my sin. All my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. Listen, and believing, I go free. Just accept what Christ has done for you. God's love is shown at Calvary. I must close. You're asking tonight, does God's love really reach me? I know that you said that God loved the world, for God so loved everyone, the whosoever, and that's good. But does God really love me? Maybe you've spoken to individuals like I've spoken to them, and they say something like this: "It's fine for you to tell me of the love of God, but you don't know me. You don't know what I have done. Do you really mean to tell me that the love of God reaches out to even someone like me?" Well, there was one, the Apostle Paul, that wrote a number of books in our Bible. He was an individual that was very religious, and he was against the Christians. He persecuted them and actually desired to put them to death. But God wanted to have a relationship with him and spoke to him out of heaven. And Saul, later his name is Paul, he has a meeting with the risen Lord Jesus, and he recognizes that it's actually Christ that he's being against and persecuting. and he trusts him as his Savior. His life is transformed. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he says this. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Notice this. He says, of whom I am chief. That means, it could be read this way. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the biggest sinner. And I am the biggest sinner. That's what Paul said. So if the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come into this world and willing to save someone like Saul, in all of his religiousness and in all of his sin, would he be willing to forgive you? Does God's love really reach me? It does. God's love reaches you tonight. But God desires to have a relationship with you, a relationship that will never end. All of us know what it is to have relationships that end. Many of us have attended funerals, and that relationship that we had with that individual, that mother or that grandmother, whoever that may be, we've enjoyed their company, we've enjoyed their presence, we've experienced their love. And now their form lies in the casket. That relationship was earthly, and that relationship is over. God's love desires to have a relationship with you that will never, ever end. If you were to put your faith and trust, receive Christ as your Savior tonight, he makes that promise to you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you felt left out or let down. Maybe you felt abandoned by friends or even by family. Maybe you feel that there's no one that loves me, or I have not been loved or treated the way that I would have liked to. Here is one that will not disappoint you. Here's one that wants a relationship with you, a relationship like you've never had before, a one of peace and joy and satisfaction. It begins now at the point of salvation, but it goes on into eternity, a relationship that will never end. Friend, tonight, we recommend to you Christ. We don't have a religion. We don't have a church. But we have a relationship with the God of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is love. He loves you. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you. And you could make him your own. You could have a relationship with him tonight if you were just to bow your head and thank God for sending his Son to be your Savior. You trust him, and he will take you safely home to heaven. Let's pray.